Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for every chance I receive to hear him as he speaks from his heart. God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and he's here to help us understand him. The Lord has a plan, and as we follow him, as we reach forth, doing whatever he gives us to do, that's our starting point. As we reach forth doing those things, we enter into a greater portion of his will, a greater portion. This reaching forth I'm talking about is not just receiving the status quo. It's not just doing what you expect. It's not just doing what other people expect. Otherwise, your life will be traditional. But it's always in the reaching forth. Now, Lester Summerall said something once at the end of his book. He said, change comes more so from individuals than organizations. Organizations are a group of people, and they usually stay within their confines. That's just how people do. Because it's normal, it's easy, you have more people working together. Organizations are good. They get things done. But if when you study the Word of God, change always came through individuals. And what I'm about to tell you is, and I'm going to give you an illustration of what happens when you reach forth, when you look past what's normal, when you look past what's accepted, and when you look to Jesus and follow him. Now, Daniel had a situation. We studied chapter 10, and we touched on chapter 11, but we're going to go back and look at chapter 11, which is sealed. Now, in order to understand chapter 11 and 12, you're going to have to, the Holy Spirit is going to have to unseal it for you. Now, Jesus said, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be open to you, ask and it will be given to you. Some things you're not going to learn from God unless you stretch forth, unless you reach forth seeking him, asking questions. And I've learned that the more you're whenever you're in faith, the Lord will give you confirmations. He will help you. He will show you things. Especially when you're in obedience. Willing obedience is so powerful. Because you're going to go beyond what you... You can't teach yourself God's word. You can receive God's word. Whether you read it or believe what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's readable, it's understandable, you have to receive it. But you can't teach yourself God's word. You can't walk down the street and say, well, this is right and that's wrong, and just make up something. And even with the word of God, it's easy to see it different ways. But the Holy Spirit meant what he was saying. The spirit of the word is the essence of the word, the truth of it. The only way I know to receive the spirit of the word, the spirit of what God was saying, is to study much of the word. Because the word of God is its own commentary. If you read Isaiah and also read Jeremiah, you're going to see correlations. If you read chapters instead of verses, you're going to see more correlations. There's less correlations than just scriptures. Scriptures can stand alone because they say something and they mean something. But the aspects you need to receive it are sometimes found in other scriptures. A reaching forth. We show people God is revealing something to us. And the Holy Spirit can decipher it. Remember something. The word is written in puzzle form. It's not in chronological order. Some of it is, some of it's not. And then there are details that's given in different places. And the Lord did this because of evil men. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And the word of God does the same thing. The way he arranged it, if a proud man reads it, it resists him. He can't understand it. But if a humble man read it, he's reaching into it. He's trying to receive it. A proud man will be satisfied with deception as long as he gets to do what he wants to do. But a humble man, the wrong things won't sit right. His wrong desires don't sit. He knows it's wrong. He don't want to do wrong. He want to do right. He want to believe that he can do right. There are people out there, they don't think they can do right, and they in their area of their life, they won't change, but they don't know how to do it. Sometimes they are good people, they're alcoholics. They don't know how to come out of it. They want to. But when people get mad and say, well, Lord, show me how to do this, now they're getting down to business. That's a reaching for. If something's bothering you in the world, Jesus said, if your hand offend you, saw it off so that your whole body can enter heaven. Which means we can't go to heaven any kind of way. We got to do it right. It's by faith. So sometimes we have to learn things. If I'm not satisfied with my knowledge, I ask questions. If I'm not where I want to be in life, if I'm doing something, you know, the only way to harness time make sure you're doing exactly what is profitable. Some things are not profitable. One of the latter chapters in Isaiah says, if you listen to the prophet, you prosper. Because God is going to, he's going to help you. He's going to usher you into better. But it comes through the reaching forth. Now that's what Daniel did. When we studied chapter 10, and I'm going to get down to when the angel came to help him. Now he didn't eat. He went on a fast. He ate no pleasant bread, and he drank water until he knew what to do. 21 days had went by, and the angel explained something. I started verse 10. This is Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then said he to me, Fear not, O Daniel, fear not, Daniel. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But look, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall your people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Now, that was opposition, the kings of Persia. Not just one, but the kings. The devil sent principalities against Persia, and they wanted to stop Daniel's progress. Principalities, they rest on the king of Persia, the human king. They try to infiltrate his kingdom. But this man put Daniel in charge. But the enemy did not want there. See, whether the king cooperate or not, that's irrelevant. The demons, the principalities that the enemy dispatches over the kingdom, is what's against you. Whenever God sends you somewhere, you're going into a territory that the devil have put principalities over to govern it. As soon as you get there, they tremble. And they're afraid that you're going to damage their kingdom. Jesus gave us power over the enemy, and he can't stop the enemy. I mean, he can't stop us. He has to get us to change our mind. But he tried to resist us. Now, Daniel was before Jesus came. Obedience was their way of fighting. As long as they were obedient, the enemy couldn't stop them. Now, we just tell Satan to move, and he moves. And we have to believe what we're saying. If we don't believe it, he won't move. But if we believe it, he's got to go. We have the authority. And you have to be certain of it. It's easy. And if you don't feel certain, just keep studying the word till you know you're certain. Verse 14. Now I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. He fell out in the presence of the angels. What happened? Just like we do in church when the Holy Spirit, we sense his presence and we jump and dance and sometimes fall out. Verse 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said to him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? All this glory, how can I stand and talk? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now, I know exactly how Daniel feels, because I used to go in the Lord's presence before he told me to study chapters, and I could never get my questions right to ask Jesus my questions when I was in his presence and he was answering me. In October of 1990, he told me to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night in the fall of 1990. And when this happened, I did it. I read 15 chapters a day. Didn't quite do it the way he said do it, but I did it. I wouldn't go to sleep till I finished reading those 10 chapters. I would read 5 in the morning. I would make myself read 10 at night. And many times I walk around in the living room until I finish reading them. After about 3 months went by, I told this story before, but the word was in me. So I was worshiping God one day, and he was talking. I said, wait a minute, Jesus, don't go nowhere. I got questions I want to ask. And he answered me. And I thought about it. I said, I wanted to make sure that wasn't me. So I asked him again, and he answered me in a way I could understand. Now, when I asked him my questions, he started dialoguing with me, and he didn't stop. I didn't want it to stop, and I was afraid that it would. So I asked him questions. I said, Lord, I don't want this to stop. I was scared to watch TV. I went 2 years without watching much TV at all, because I didn't want the dialogue to stop or reaching forth. Now, it was all right to watch TV. But when he first started talking to me, it was very important that I wanted that to continue. I needed him to give me guidance. And I preach a lot about the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because we need it. You are capable of so much more, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. He don't want to just guide me. He want to guide all of his people. I'm talking children too. And my daughter told me this week, she was going to order something, and it was just on her not to do it. And then she found a $20 coupon for Target. She's going to get it half the price she was going to pay. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. My son told me just last night that there was a guy, the Lord had him to go talk to him, and it turned out to be a good friendship. You know, he met a guy at a and they're both Christians, and they start sharing the word. The Lord puts things together. Friendships, he can put friendships together. You have to follow the Holy Spirit. He has so much to say. And I know this. So I desire for people to know him. A reaching forth. So Daniel was strengthened. I was strengthened to hear God. He had to receive strength so he could stand up and listen to what the angel had to say. Otherwise, he would have been laid out on the floor and the angel wouldn't have been able to teach him much. Now, now this is verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now notice he said the king of Grecia shall come. Now, Daniel already had visions about Greece and Rome. Not Rome, but Greece. Because he had other visions too. And they all work together as one. It's all one vision. All right, verse 11. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show you the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. Now this, my friend, is Alexander the Great. Four kings will rise up. He was in the days of Darius. And then three kings, there should be three. He said, behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. He lost. Greece won, according to the other dream. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken. Now, Alexander the Great, we know history. He took over the whole known world at that time. And when he stood up, he went against the king of Grecia, and the king of Grecia took over his empire. And that was Alexander the Great. And then as soon as he took over everything, he died, and his four generals took his kingdom, not his children, according to these words. All right, now we're going to get further along. Verse 5, and the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together. Now his generals was the Ptolemies ruled Egypt. Seleucid, he ruled from the north. And then Callinicus and forgot the other one. They ruled in Asia and India. But the king of the north and the king of the south had a rivalry going. And there was many wars fought for over the years. Now, Moses said something that if you turn from the Lord, other people will fight in your land. Now, I have to go back and find that. I remember studying that or something like that in Genesis. See, the Lord always give warning, and if you don't do right, it's going to happen. So the king of the north and south was fighting. Jerusalem's in the middle of all this. All right, verse 6. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together. For the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of the branch of her roots shall stand up one such, shall stand up, but out of the branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land. But his son shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler, anger, malice, which is choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he has taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s, and he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. Now these things are sealed to me. You can get the history books and match it. But there are some things going on that's still sealed. And in those times, verse 14, in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fail. So the king of the north shall come, and shall cast up a mount, and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he shall come against him, and shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of the whole kingdom, and the upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. For this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to return upon him. Now David Jeremiah was saying that in verse 17, the daughter of women, that was Cleopatra, because she was of Egypt, and she married the king of the north in Syria. And she was, you know, they had a relationship. I don't know how it turned out. I've seen different aspects of it on TV, but I don't really know the details. But all these things were happening. And some of the things that we even believe, has you can trace it back to these days and beyond. See, people shape the future of people. And the pattern of the way people think is in tradition. And tradition is outside your door. The way people think, the thought process, it formed because of something. It just didn't happen that way by chance. Wars were fought. People have opinions and they continue them until they receive the light of God's word. Sometimes the things that we're fighting and the things we resist stem from things of the past, even the way we see God. So it's important to reach forth and snap out of it. I thank God that he saves us where we are and we grow from glory to glory. But we need to keep growing from glory to glory so that we can be a greater blessing to the next generation. They're counting on us. And we need to win because so many people are not getting saved. And we need to get as many people saved as we can. So it'll heighten the future chances of our own children. And so the world won't be lost. We need to collect these people that are ready to get saved. They don't need to die on the vine. Just because the harvest is white and ready to be picked don't mean that they'll be picked, because God needs laborers. And then he needs intelligent laborers. He needs people that reach forth. Daniel reached forth and now he's learning things. All right, verse 19. Then shall he turn his face toward the fort of his own land, and shall stumble and fall, and shall not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days shall he be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now I believe verse 21 is the false, is the beast. He's the king, the Antichrist. Verse 22. And in the arms of the flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken. Yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with the small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. Now, Elder Lewis said that he was half Jewish. So the Antichrist is probably, he may be half Jewish. I don't know. We'll see. I think he's right. Now when I don't know for certain, I believe it, but I have to tell you what, I don't like just throwing my opinion out there. Some things are for you to reach forth and find yourself. Now, I believe it because that's how I saw the scriptures. All right, verse 25. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they shall feed of the portion of his meat and shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow. And many shall fall down slain. But both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. But it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return to his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the chips of Kittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake him, that forsake the holy covenant. Now the chips of Kittim was prophesied by Baal. Not Balaam, the same one who taught Balak to curse Israel. It was also prophesied by Isaiah and others. Okay, verse 31. The arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. This is the Antichrist. Because that's what he's going to do in the middle of the tribulation. And that's when the blindness of Isaiah will end, according to chapter 6. Verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he do. So such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be strong in the Lord and do exploits in our day. Because this part was referring to the tribulation period. So, but we can do the exploits as well. We can do what God gives us to do. Verse 33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. But many shall cleave to them by flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Verse 37. Now watch this verse. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. This is the verse that Elder Lewis said that's why he said that that the Antichrist is half Jewish. And it's right, he's right. Because the God of his fathers is capitalized. So he's half Jewish and he's a betrayer. You know, he's an Antichrist. Some Jews are Antichrist, some are not. Just like any other tribe.